Welcome to Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features interesting people with fun, fascinating stories about their journeys in the performing arts. Authors, actors, dancers, writers, musicians, athletes, comics, you name it. Folks who are center stage, backstage, on camera, or behind the scenes. Sit back and listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a production of the Foul Players Group and a proud member of the SJ Network. And welcome again to the Rising from the Ashes edition of Foul Players Radio. My name is Michael Spedden. Today we welcome Gene Vincent back to Foul Players Radio. Gene and his band, the Cadillac Cruisers, have been the opening act to over 340 legendary rock and roll acts, or, if you ask Gene, 340 legendary rock and roll acts have closed for him. We discussed the impact of COVID on our performing this past year, and he spoke of two of his friends that he's lost in recent years, Joe Terry of Danny and the Juniors and Frankie Ford. He told many other stories, too, including performing at the Dundalk Heritage Fair for 36 or 37 times, appearing over the years with such acts as Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees and the Mahoney Brothers, a well-known Beatles tribute band. He told me of performing at rock and roll festivals in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with such acts as Little Richard, Lou Christie, Joey D and the Starlighters, Little Anthony, Frankie Valli, Jimmy Butler, and others, and we reminisced about some legendary Baltimore-area broadcasters such as Marty Bass, Stu Kerr, Joe Knight, Johnny Walker, and Jack Gale, and a story about Gene getting into mischief on the set of Romp Room at WMAR Channel 2 Studios. You don't want to miss that. Subscribe for free at www.foulplayersradio.com or listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Podcast Index, Overcast, Castro, Castbox, or Podfriend. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Foul Players of Perryville are now booking murder mystery shows for the late summer and fall of 2021. Indoor or outdoor venues, trains, boats, office parties, fundraisers, or just for the heck of it. 443-600-0446. You can also email us at foulplayersperryville@yahoo.com or our website, www.foulplayersofperryville.com. We'll be back with Gene Vincent right after these words.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Christopher Stolle of Breaking the Fourth Wall. If you enjoy our show, you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment, or just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment on Anchor.fm, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or wherever quality podcasts can be heard. And also, you can find us on all the social medias. Just look for Realm of the Mist Entertainment, and I will catch you on the other side.
I'm Michael, the host of the semi-monthly podcast In a City Like Yours. Join me as I chat with interesting people with interesting life stories. You can listen to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter at IACLYS Podcast, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at In a City Like Yours Podcast. Please feel free to let me know what you think. And keep coming back for the many interesting stories in a city like yours.
Hey, this is Don Smith from the Life Radio Show. If you've always wanted to learn more about the world of low-budget filmmaking and even lower-budget comedy, tune into the Life Radio Show. You can live stream the show at WWSU1069.org on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, or find us wherever you find podcasts and like and follow the Life Radio Show on Facebook for live video and other shenanigans.
Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and an ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
Well, Mr. Gene Vincent, welcome back to Foul Players Radio. It's always a pleasure having you, and it's been too long. So how you been?
I've been good, except for this COVID. You know, I didn't have the COVID, but I have some good friends that did. And I had a couple that passed away, you know.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame, you know. I'm just hoping we can just get all this behind us, everybody get their shots and get back out there, because everybody I know who's a performer is really hurting right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, not only on, a professional level, but on a personal level too. It's just hard on so many people, you know. So
entertainers that don't entertain, it hurts. We've lost a couple of people that were wonderful. And Joe Terry of Danny and the Juniors. Mm-hmm. And he was Mr. Nice Guy. He was the Dean Martin of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And just a great guy to talk to. Sometimes I would talk with him at night, you know, about his family and such. And Joe Terry was a prince. Mm-hmm. He really was a prince. Not the prince, but he was a prince. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, we lost Frankie Ford also.
Yeah, real shame to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, COVID has just been going through, and you know, I'm guessing that these were related to COVID. You know, that it's taken a lot of people. Such a shame to have, especially if somebody is still actively entertaining. I mean, to have somebody's life end with this anyway. But the fact that, you know, there was just a lot of people that are still out there touring and performing and recording and producing new material just leaves, you know, unfinished business at the end, which is a shame as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's always bad. Well, yeah, speaking of people that are gone, I remember doing a big show with Papa John Phillips. And the thing that struck me about him was that I said, can we grab a pic? And he, a picture. And he said, no.
Huh.
He felt that he was at the point in his life where he didn't look good enough to take pictures.
Is that right? Now, what?
Yeah.
Around what time frame was this?
90s, mid-90s.
Okay, okay.
I think there's so many that they run together, but I should have put dates on the pictures.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he wouldn't take a pic, but, you know, he walked out in front of 18,000 people and entertained.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah, that's something, you know, they're willing to do that, but not stand for a picture. And where did you perform with them?
In Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And at a place called the Equestrian Center. I don't know where it is.
I think I know where that is.
I made it there.
Yeah, in Prince George's County, maybe. I think that's on, it's on the way into D.C. I don't think it's actually in the city of D.C., but I know where that is. That's a good-sized place.
Oh, it is, and it held it. 18,500 people.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I was ready to
I
say.
I looked out there and I said, I wish I were the star of this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But alas, no, that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Well, it was hot that day. I remember that. And They had a tent set up just for people who had heat stroke.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, there was always movement in and out of that tent. Mm-hmm. But most of the inner, there was a bar, mm-hmm. I don't know, and it was in close proximity to the stage. Mm-hmm. And most of the entertainers, they got out of that and went up to the bar and air conditioned and sat around and told jokes.
Yeah. I've done some outdoor things in the past, too. I tell you what, you know, sun is something that's not very forgiving when you're playing out and having somewhere to go. I almost fell out one time and I was just playing a backyard party. They wanted us to play like right at the peak time in the afternoon when it was hottest, you know, the party was starting. They wanted us to start playing around 1 o'clock and boy, I tell you, I almost fell out. I had to stop. And
oh yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is for all you entertainers that have to perform in the sun. Mm-hmm. I learned this from George Lynch, of the group Dokken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew George, and The thing is, you have to take potassium. Eat a banana. Eat two. Have two bananas and Gatorade.
Yep.
Then you won't pass out, because that, you know, that's if you deplete the potassium, you go down like a stone.
You do. Yeah, he was just in town not too long ago. I mean, before pandemic came, he was either in town. I think he had the band After Doc and Lynch Mob. He was just
Lynch
over
Mob,
at
yes.
Fishhead Cantina in Arbutus.
If I'd have known he was here, I'd have gone over and
Yeah. Another one of our guests, Mike Diamond and his band, The Mathematics, opened for him over there. Said he was a good guy and everything, too.
Oh, he's a great guy. I got a book in progress. Mm-hmm. And this book is about a young man that was dying of cystic fibrosis. Uh-huh. And I was able to put some things together and call people. And this young man, his favorite entertainer, was George Lynch, and his name was Paul Hester, young Paul Hester, and they wound up becoming best friends.
Hmm.
Paul was only 16, I think. Yeah, they were best of friends, and it proved to me that George was just the greatest guy. I mean, the things that he did for Paul, unbelievable.
That's really nice. That's really nice that he was, you know, these guys are willing to take the time to do that.
Well, let me tell you, he called George and told him, I said, you know, George, I said, Paul's only got days, maybe a week. He says, really? And he left a corporate recording session. Hmm. Now, corporate recording sessions are like, you know, this is not a bunch of guys getting together and at Joe's studio, and this is the real deal. And he said, I'll be back. They said, you can't do that. It's a corporate recording session. He says, no, I'll be back. And he got on a plane and came here and bought a whole bunch, went to the mall, to the Golden Ring Mall, which is no longer there.
Right, right. I remember
He bought all kinds of stuff for Paul. Mm-hmm. So it's a real story. It's a book. Yeah. The whole thing, beginning to end, is a book, and I am writing it.
Oh, so good. That's nice.
I'm calling it, ironically, Paul and George.
Oh, that's great. That's a nice thing to do. I'm sure that's a fond memory for him. You know, it really, and as performers too, it's a special thing when somebody says to you that they really enjoyed what you do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It does, and it really means a lot, especially whenever I get compliments from people. You know, I appreciate it. It really makes my day, and it really makes me feel like all this effort I've been putting into what I'm doing is worth it, because it does have the intended effect of making people happy. I had a couple of friends that had children that were sick. One had cancer, one had cystic fibrosis. They're both still with us, which is a good thing. But we went and performed for them, you know, both at fundraisers, and we actually went and visited them, played in their hospital room for them. We brought acoustic guitars. And whenever somebody in that situation likes what you do, it means a lot, and you really want to make the effort to pay them back in that way, you know?
My feeling has always been, when I was able to do something for somebody like that, that was the very reason that I got into the music business.
Right.
And I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was to get girls and be popular. But actually, maybe it boils down to one event, one time.
Mm-hmm.
Were you that important in a person's life? Mm-hmm. If it's many times, then you're really blessed. And I've come to the conclusion that for me, it's putting me in the path of people that might need something, I don't know, happiness of some kind. And and I'm able to arrange or do things, and it's the best feeling, the best feeling.
It is. And the thing is, too, is that it's probably a nice feeling, too, to see what I would call, like, regulars. I'm sure you have, like, your regular gigs that you do every year at the
Heritage. When I was playing the clubs.
Yeah.
And I still play some clubs. But when I was playing, this makes me ill to think about this, but I played two clubs, and it was a total of 5 years. Never moved equipment. All I had to do was show up and playing. And yeah, regulars. It was wonderful to see regulars come in. Mm-hmm. And we have a few regulars that come to our shows now. Uh-huh. They they're not teenagers anymore, however. But I do have, we have a following. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure as you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Years ago.
Oh, mighty Viking.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know something? It was really funny the other day. I was at work. I've been working from the house. And one of my coworkers called me up and said, and, you know, like last year when, or the year before when the commercial came out, you know, everybody in my department got together and we showed it. I guess somebody must have missed the meeting because one of my coworkers called me up and goes, you know, I was watching TV. And this guy came on wearing a Viking helmet that looked just like you. And I know it wasn't you, but you must have a twin somewhere. And I said, well, there's a very good reason for that. And
yeah,
it's because it is me, you know.
But I had a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I always thought you guys came over in these long boats.
Mm-hmm.
You came by bus?
I came by bus, yes, yes. I came by bus. It was a floating bus, and they had the big dragon head on the front of the bus.
Okay.
They didn't show that. We had to take it down because we went to the drive-thru for lunch. But yeah, we were all in the, and what didn't show was that we were all rowing the bus through town. It wasn't a gasoline engine. We all had giant oars and we were rowing it. So yeah, that's how we got around. That's how we got around. But yeah,
absolutely one of my favorite commercials.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I have a feeling that commercial is going to be around for a while, too. It's
grabs people.
It does. It does. I've gotten a lot of interesting questions about that commercial over the years that it's been on, the last two. You know, if they were asking if that was really us singing and, you know, a number of other things, but it's a lot of fun to talk about. I was at a bull roast just eating, and a couple of guys recognized me and came over and they said, you're that guy, you're the Viking. And I said, yeah. Sometimes when somebody comes to you and says, you're that guy, you're like, oh God, what did I do? You know, but
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But it is nice. You know, like we were saying, you know, I mean, with all the years that you've been performing, I'm sure that, you know, your band and, you know, were part of somebody's memories that they may have had from an anniversary or a special occasion where they chose to spend it with you. And that means a lot, too, you know?
It does, yes. It really does. And I have people that come up to me and say, I saw you at the Baltimore Arena,
mm-hmm.
or I saw you at the Meyerhoff, or the... And I'm thinking, these people spent a lot of money to come out and, you know, mm-hmm. to see us. And of course, the other acts. Mm-hmm. You know, all these other acts, these big stars. You know, they close for us.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's.
We don't open for them. They close for us.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They close for you. Yeah. Yeah. I know, guys. I mean, the amount of acts. You said it was over 340. I think I saw that number, and that's just amazing right there, you know, that you've been able to do all these shows and, you know, play with these people, you know having these people close for you, you know, like that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, if you have a big show, like the one that we talked about at the, in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. I think there were like 22 or 25 acts on that,
mm.
and so, you know, and yeah, well, it'll start. You get a couple of those that are really big shows,
mm-hmm.
and when that's what you get. You get numbers,
right? Right.
And well, go ahead now.
And not only that, too. I mean, there's the camaraderie too backstage. When you're playing with that many acts, you get to meet people.
Big time. And that's what I'm in it for. I have made so many friends, with the guys that were the stars and. And the stories, and to be accepted into their circle,
mm-hmm.
is like the finest thing that a guy like me can experience in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the big crowds are fine. You get out and you jump around, play guitar and sing, but they go, ha-ha, they're very good, good, very good. But backstage with the stars, I collect the stories, and I've collected 1,000 stories.
Sure, sure. Everybody, no matter how successful you are, you always come up with a time, and I guess it happens probably a little bit more for actors, maybe than musicians, because, and I've been both, of self-doubt.
Oh,
you know?
Of course.
And then just to be able to play a show like that and have somebody at that level be complimentary and kind, and they don't avoid you. You know,
just well, like when you can talk to them just the way we're talking.
Right, right.
You know, that you know that you're okay with them.
You're exactly
I remember
right.
Frankie Ford saying to me, I had stopped off at his house in New Orleans. I was at a conference, and I don't know, I was kind of overwhelmed by his place. And he says, you're acting like a guest. You keep acting like a guest, I'm going to start treating you like one. I said, okay, Frank, I get it.
A lot of these folks, once you performed with them and done well, you know, you do get treated just like a peer, which is wonderful. Yep. I was fortunate enough to reach out and have the fellow that I performed on Gotham with on the show not too long ago. And the guy that shot me, you know, I got to have him on. And even when I got there for the first time and I was just kind of getting myself settled in my dressing room and everything, you know, he came over and said, welcome to the family. And that's the environment that I was working in. And it really is nice to be able to experience that at that level.
Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. And, well, all the shows that I've done, probably Rock Rhythm and Doo-Wop was the one where I made the most connections, so to speak.
Right.
That truly was like, I don't know, there was a movie called American Hot Wax. Mm-hmm. And the final scenes were backstage and on the concert stage. And it made me feel like I wish I had been there and made it as a teenager. But at least I was experiencing this. I mean, when you're standing next to Little Richard and Frankie Valli, I mean, you're going to have something to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially with Frankie Valli, the doo-wop and the harmonies and just the skill level of these guys is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm a barbershopper, too. I've been singing with the chorus of the Chesapeake. Well, I did from...
I didn't know that. Okay.
My grandfather was a charter member, and I started... he's a friend of the family. My grandfather's name was Ken Lawton.
Okay.
And he started with him in 56, and the day he died, he was on his way to rehearsal, very dedicated to it. But I've been learning about singing harmonies. I joined in 18, and I performed with him in 18 and 19, and then up until, I guess, March of last year... And I've been waiting to go back to rehearsal ever since. But it's really a fun and it's really a challenge. And it's really something that I haven't, a skill that I really haven't been able to master and perfect and polish, which I've really enjoyed doing. And then the guys, I'm sure you probably know a number of these guys, too. They're just good people.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, you mentioned, the Fogels from the Heritage Fair and everything.
He's been trying to get me into that forever.
Yeah. He's a charter member too. Bob, if you're talking about Bob, yeah.
Both Bobs,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, Bob.
Junior and senior.
Yeah, junior. I knew, and I grew up in the neighborhood. He's a little bit older than me, but I knew, the Fogels very well growing up. We're from the same neighborhood down there in Dundalk, and, they've been all about the Heritage Fair and all about the course of the Chesapeake for as long as we can remember.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've done the Heritage Fair. It was either 36 or 37 times.
Wow.
And we're the longest running act there at the Heritage Fair. It was because of Bob Fogel. I was able to, at one time, help him procure acts.
Sure.
And, he says, it was work he didn't have to do because I handled them from the time they got off the plane until we took them back to the plane and took care of their needs. And so that was one thing he didn't have to think about. Mm-hmm. And so, the Fogels have been good to the Cruisers, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you that, putting together that Heritage Fair every year is a job.
Oh.
That is a job. I mean, I'm sure there's a number of things that are routine now, but there's still a hell of a lot to oversee with that. And I'm glad that they're still, doing it after all these years. I mean, again, last year COVID kind of killed it, but what a great tradition. That's where I grew up. Just such a great tradition. It's a reunion. You get to see everybody you grew up with again.
I know about what the Fogels go through. Mm-hmm. I ran Essex Day for years. Mm-hmm. And some other festivals. The Dundalk Heritage Fair is that times three or four.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. I performed at Essex Day, I think, in 2010 or 2011. Rick Metzger got us in.
Rick. Well, Rick, I was was just on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. He's a good friend. Nice guy. And yeah, they got,
and you know what? He's a good delegate.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
is. He's very good. Mm-hmm. He's one of the few politicians I ever met that I think is excellent. Of course, I've known Rick for a long time. Mm-hmm. If you got him for a friend, well, you got a friend.
You sure do. You sure do. I liked his slogan. You know, he wants to be elected to serve, not serve to be elected, which I really, it says a lot about him. I mean, that's his neighborhood that, you know, he's lived in that area and that's his pride. And there's nobody that can't approach him, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
Very true.
Very true about Rick. If all the people in show business were as nice as him, mm-hmm. we'd be well off, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. When we did Essex Day, we played, there was an old store right at the corner of Mace Avenue, shoots off of Eastern. And we played on the porch of that. Now, apparently they renovated that place recently, and it's
they
no
did,
longer
yes.
What it looked like before. But that was really neat to be able to do that. I always enjoyed doing that. We used to. Did you ever do anything at the Boomy Temple?
Oh, sure. Yeah. All the time. Mm-hmm,
that's a great place, too. I enjoyed.
Now I'm talking about King Avenue.
Yeah. That's, right.
Mm-hmm. I've done, I think I've appeared there maybe 15 times, and 9 of them were for the Heart of Rock and Roll.
Okay.
Concerts. And we would have 2 or 3 main acts, mm-hmm. and we would open for them and back them up and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
The Shriners are good people.
They are. I've with my acoustic act, the Uncle Moldy Show, I think we've been getting booked there since maybe 2007 at their mm-hmm. carnival. They have the carnival every year. And I think
I played the carnival 1 year.
Yep. So I guess this would be, 2007 up until about 2019. I think we only got to play, actually got to play maybe 6 times, because all the other times we got rained out.
Yeah.
They always, don't they have the worst luck at picking the worst weekends for that?
And the Heritage Fair, you know, mm-hmm. the Heritage Fair is a target for tornadoes and, big rainstorms and such. They've been through some rough times with it.
They sure have. As a matter of fact, the last Heritage Fair in 19, we were up there with the chorus, and we got up and we ended up, the place just turned into a monsoon that day, and we were supposed to open, you know, as the chorus does, you know, they open the open ceremonies. There were just people standing underneath of the tents, like for where they had the, the hot dog stands and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And all we got a chance to do because of the rain, it cleared up for a little bit, and we just sang the national anthem and God Bless America, and then we packed it in, and we just, because it started up again. And not the safest place to be on a stage where you've got all that musical equipment that runs off of electricity, that's a good way to end up a crispy critter,
Actually, that brings another story to mind. Mahoney Brothers.
Yes, yeah,
we worked with the Mahoneys several times, mm-hmm. and they came on after us. Again, they closed for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It started the thunder and lightning. Now, that main stage, there's trees all around it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's, it's a perfect lightning rod. So,
yes.
So they started to play, and here comes the lightning. Uh-oh. Lightning's striking, And I looked at the guy, who's playing guitar, and I was standing next to him. I said, "You know, you're holding the instrument of death."
That's true. Very true. Very true. Especially,
I said, the piano player doesn't have too much to worry about, or the drummer, but you,
mm-hmm.
my friend, you're holding on to a lightning rod.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And especially especially if he touches his mic stand at the same time.
Oh. Had all sorts of things happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure did. You were talking about, didn't Mickey Dolenz close for you at the Heritage Fair, was that?
Yes, he did, yeah. Mickey was great. And I got a picture with him, and just a pleasure to talk with him. And he brings his family. His family is the band. And he brings his family with him when he goes out on tour. They perform on stage with him. And what surprised me, he was wearing this little fedora hat.
Mm-hmm.
And looking, I said, what about that? I said, he's wearing a hat for some reason. Well, I found out the reason. Mm-hmm. He took it off one time, and he was completely bald.
Is that right? Is that right?
I said, oops, put that hat back on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the case with a lot of people. It's going to be me pretty soon too.
Well, know? Bruce Elliott, not Bruce Elliott. What am I saying? You know, he made,
Marty Bass.
This thing. Huh?
Are you talking about Marty Bass when he took off his toupee on the air?
Oh, that's another story.
Oh, okay.
You don't want, I'll talk about that if you want.
But, okay.
You like that idea? I can do that.
If you want, sure.
Well, what happened to Marty happened right at the time that the Science Center opened, you know, Science Center down in the harbor.
Yeah.
And I had my young son, he was six, I guess, and six or seven. And like everybody else, I parked the car, walked on in, and who's there but Marty Bass? Okay? Uh-huh. And he spotted me. He says, "Hey, Gene, come on over. Gene, come here." He says, "Nobody will talk to me, man." You know, because he had just been through being arrested.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, and all that, you know. And he says, "Nobody will talk to me." I said, "Okay, go ahead and interview me." He says, "Here's Gene Benzoway." Yeah. He says, and I said, "Hey, what have you been up to, Marty?" He says, "Don't do that to me." And we had to start that one again.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Well, you know, he survived, you know?
Sure did, didn't he? He took off the toupee. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing that he ever did. And sometimes I really like Marty, and other times he's at, I think it's gone to his head a little bit. I don't know.
Could be. It could be. Yeah, he is a, he's been around, God, for, I think he's, is he still on there? I haven't watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's a big anchor at the morning show.
Okay. Don Scott was the one that retired. That's right. Don Scott retired.
Don was a sweetheart.
He was a nice guy too. He was a real nice guy. I've met him. I had the opportunity to meet him on a couple of occasions. Just a good guy. You know, we've had a couple of people in town that have been on the news locally for years. I mean, now I'm thinking, you know, Bob Turk is still around, right?
Yeah,
Marty Bass, and then Stan Stovall.
Oh, yeah, I did a thing with Stan not too long ago at the Roundhouse for the trains.
Okay.
B&O Museum.
Sure.
And, that was a horrible place to play in. Mm-hmm. You can imagine. I guess you've been in there.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just, you know, we hit one note, and I said, well, we're finished, because that note's going to ring until about 12 o'clock tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It just kept the bounce back was awful. You know?
When you get a place that's just got bad acoustics, you know, sometimes you can adapt, but other times you just feel like you're just off or something, you know?
Well, I hate it when you get the bounce back and it's coming back to you while you're singing the next verse.
Right. Right.
I've had a couple of times where I had to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, it flat out stops the brain. Mm. You know, you can't do the next line because you listen to the first one.
Oh, right, right. Well, the other thing, too, is when you have bad monitors that just don't work, and you can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
I've been through that.
Yeah, I've been through with the monitors, you know. It's a thing we did up in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this, but Pittsburgh was once a mecca for Broadway shows, and now I don't see it because, you know, I see a city that's stuck in the side of a hill, you know.
Right, yeah.
Mountain. I don't get it, but apparently it was a very big deal at one time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the theater that we were in, it was just magnificent. Now, I've been to a lot of Broadway shows, and this theater was its rival in every way. And, you know, I walked in and I was, wow, look, the only thing that made me comfortable, my buddy Joey D and the Starlighters were on stage. And that made me feel comfortable. And then the rest of the stars started arriving and, you know, taking their dressing rooms and such. And then we had a rehearsal. You should see this upstairs. The upstairs rehearsal was incredible. These guys are all piling in, you know, and I said, look, all of rock and roll is here. Yeah, because they had like 25 acts on that show. I mean, it was great. I mean, I felt that I knew about two-thirds of them, and by the end, I knew about 98% of them. Little Richard, though, he was the real deal. I mean, he, I felt like I was with the maybe the biggest star that I'd ever performed with.
Wow. I could imagine.
Maybe he isn't, but I think he is. And, you know, who is from Pittsburgh? He was a big hit there, of course. As Lou Christie, he's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, sure.
He's a big hometown boy, and they really reacted to him. And Anthony, little Anthony, put on a great show. We talked a lot backstage. And Frankie Valli, he was a mensch, you know. He's just a great guy to talk with. And Jerry Butler, what a gentleman.
Wow, okay.
He, you know, he had, like, Only the Strong Survive, and he went back, he did Moon River, and a bunch of songs. But to just talk with him, it's like the easiest conversation ever. Yeah, it was great.
I can imagine. Wow, that's great. Talking about, you know, doing these festivals, just the camaraderie and everything is just amazing, you know. So you were telling me before we started recording, too, you had a story about Romper Room. Do you still want to tell us, or or do you have to kill me if I ask?
Yeah, we were on TV2. That's out on York Road, you know. Good old Bruce Elliott. Now, Bruce is a bit unique himself, but we'll go beyond that. When we did our segment, I was to go back and do some more with him. In the meantime, we found the Romper Room set. I'm telling you, when the union found us playing like children on the Romper Room set, they went through the roof. And to us, it wasn't a big deal. But these union guys are tough. You know, I took a microphone and put it on myself, on one of those lapel mics, and the union guy went nuts. He says, I do that. I said, oh, excuse me. Go right ahead. And they found us on the Romper Room set. We were playing like we were children. I mean, no, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I even got some pictures. But obviously, they didn't think it was so funny. But for us, it was hilarious.
Oh, I bet. I bet. And that was on York Road, Channel 2. Yeah, that was the old Stu Kerr's old stomping grounds. I just remember all the things.
What a talented guy.
Wasn't he something else?
Yeah. In the book.
I've had a fellow that did puppets for him on a couple of his later shows, Pop's Place, and when he actually ended up going over to Channel 54. And told me so many wonderful things about working with him. It was just, you know, amazing. He's definitely a legend in Baltimore showbiz and Baltimore entertainment.
Absolutely.
Taken way too young, too, I think. Way too soon. It's a real shame. Recent interviews that I've done, and you're a creative guy, too. Could you imagine, you know, like the George Lewis's, you know, Captain Chesapeake and Captain 20, you know, Dick Dizel, these little independent stations. Now, you know, WMAR wasn't a little independent station, but by the same token, a lot of their original programming, you know, there was a lot of programming that was, you know, not syndicated, that it was up to that channel to come up with. Could you imagine? It's your job to come up with that.
Yeah, I used to do radio, and on a Sunday night, I had a Sunday night show, and coming up with material every week was something else.
Sure is, and it would be, you know, I could see where there were times when you really had to work at it and everything, but on the other hand, I could just, you know, if that's something that you really thrive on and really enjoy, that would be one of those things where they say, if you have a job like that, you'll never work a day in your life.
Absolutely.
Just the stories I've heard from, you know, Tracy Lewis, George Lewis's daughter, you know, Rob Lovett, who was talking about Stu Kerr, you know, him creating these things. it was just an amazing job. It reminds me a lot about that Weird Al Yankovic movie called UHF that came out a number of years ago, where it was really up to him. You know, he was kind of in the same boat.
Well, Stu, the thing that amazed me about him was when he did It's in the Book. Mm-hmm. And that actually was recited by someone else. And he had to absolutely have every inflection down. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're watching him, you're thinking it's got to be him mm-hmm. talking. It's not.
Right.
And that amazes me. Mm-hmm. Truly does, that he could convince everybody that he was the one doing it. Mm-hmm. It's harder than doing it yourself.
Right. Right. And he was another longtime Heritage Fair performer too.
Yeah. Yeah. Stu, and I'll tell you who else was great and funny mm-hmm. was Joe Knight at WCBM. Mm-hmm. Joe Knight was one of the most talented people I've ever known. Mm-hmm. He did all those Pentel commercials and all that stuff. And I used to watch him produce his commercials. Mm. And the methods were archaic. And yet he would pull it off every time, placing tape together and doing this and sound effects, and, you know, and then he did these funny little voices. And Joe Knight was just the prince. He's one of the originals, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Along with Stu and so forth.
Definitely. You know, I think we're kind of spoiled nowadays because, you know, everything's computerized. You know, you don't have to take the razor blade and find the exact place to cut the tape and tape it together and everything and make sure that, you know, you got it at the right spot and everything. Nowadays, everything's kind of a mouse click and everything's visual. So even somebody like me can do it, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. And with Photoshop, you can make anything real.
You sure can. You sure can.
Yep. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that I remember from back in those days too, of radio. Do you remember Johnny Walker?
Oh, of course.
WFBR.
Yeah.
He was a character. I could remember in high school, we used to listen to him in the morning a lot of times. We had AM radio in the car back in days when AM and FM wasn't standard, or actually that was when the car was made that we drove in, right? Didn't, you know, just had AM radio. We used to listen to him all the time. I mean, he's just another legend, another one taken way too soon too. Young man.
Well, yeah, Johnny and there were a number of them had close ties to Jack Gale.
Okay.
You remember Jack Gale? Mm-hmm. He got thrown off the air because of something today we wouldn't even think about it. And it ironically involved my first big band. We were one of the originals in Maryland. We were called the Rockin'Airs, and we played every Teen Center, every CYO, you know, all that. And Jack Gale came on the air. He says, "I'm going to be out there tonight with the Royalettes from Baltimore and my band, my boys, Gene Bennett, the Rockin'Airs." He says, "And they'll be doing their big hit. I knew we were sardines when you kissed me in the can."
And that's nothing.
He got tossed.
Oh, gee. And that.
Yeah. That was bad in those days.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that with the people that, and people actually, you know, take the time to complain and everything. And then after a while, all that stuff just kind of stopped. Now we've got what we have now. So that's the truth.
Sure enough.
That's the truth. Well, you know, Gene, it's been wonderful for you to come back and see us again here, and I hope you plan on doing it more. You know, I always enjoy conversations with you and hearing about all these folks you've performed with over the years, and your stories are just amazing. But I can't get enough of it, but, you know, I'd like to, you know, save some for later as well. So thank you again for
being
with
us. There's a lot more where that came from.
Oh, absolutely, and I can't wait to hear it. So I know, you know, we've got COVID and everything. You know, do you have anything lined up, you know, for perhaps later this year when things open up yet, or are you still kind of...
Yeah, we were due to do a big show with Frankie Valli's brother, Bobby Valli, next week.
Okay.
And what's happened is that the rollout on the COVID shots is going much slower than anybody anticipated.
Tell me about
it. And therefore, we thought everybody would have their COVID shots by now. So we're going to have to postpone that, and everyone does have their COVID shots.
I know.
And And we've got some bookings going into the summer and so forth. And
good.
And of course, all the stuff that we normally do, that'll all be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the Heritage Fair.
Sure.
But
sure.
They have to figure out what they're really going to be doing out there. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll be a part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see you. I definitely can't wait to get out and see you once we come out of our caves after all this time and get a chance to be social creatures again as compared to living in isolation. You know, I just, like I said,
I'm going on a trip next week.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be visiting my living room and the upstairs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I feel like when I take my walks around the neighborhood, I'm doing like some, exotic traveling.
That's right.
Really getting out. Well, thank you again, Gene. It's always a pleasure to have you.
It's my pleasure, friend.
And
I always enjoy being on with you.
Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Gene Vincent here on Foul Players Radio, and we'll see you next time.
Howdy, it's Matt Gwynn here, popping in to let you know about the adventures of the albino rhino. It's a show Frank the Giraffe here, my co-host James Godwin, and myself put on for you guys twice a week. Every Wednesday, we talk to a comedian, and every Friday, we call it Freak Yeah Friday. The show itself is not safe for work, and that freak is definitely a different word. I just don't know what podcast you're going to be listening to this promo on, and I don't want to, start screaming explicatives while you're sitting in your office, if you're lucky enough to have been able to go back to the work that you did before inside of an office or whatever, you know? But we go on an adventure twice a week, and it's a good time because we get to sit down and talk to some really cool people. And I enjoy it because, you know, I'm just curious little albino who likes to get to know folks, you know? You can find us a couple ways, actually multiple ways, really. Man, there's a lot of different ways to find us. You can find us through our central hub, which is www.albinorhino.me. It's the website. Find me on. And then, you know, the podcast, you can find the videos on YouTube. Search for Adventures of the Albino Rhino. Also linkable from our website. And you can also find us through Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Radio Public, and Spotify. That's right. We're on the same place Joe Rogan is. Granted, we're not the Joe Rogan Experience. But you know what I mean? We're there. So give us a listen. Promise you won't be dissatisfied. And enjoy your day.
What is going on, minions? Mike here for Misery Point Radio, and you're listening to the Coast to Coast Power Hour on the SJ Network. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mike, what the F is a Coast to Coast Power Hour? Well, my uneducated and uninformed friend, the Coast to Coast Power Hour is a Borg-like collective of epic podcasters from epic podcasts that have all come together to discuss the important things in life. Pop culture, current events, random awesomeness, stuff like that. Trust me, you need this in your life. For more information on this show and all the shows on the Coast to Coast Power Hour, as well as on the SJ Network, reach out to publicist Steve Joyner at www.s-j-network.com or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. No need to thank me. I'm just out here, you know, changing lives.
What's Your Effin' Binge is a podcast brought to you by Chris, Anchor, and Spotify. And what we talk to our guest about is what they're currently binge-watching on TV. And what we do is we like to take a different approach. I don't want to know what the name of the show is that they're going to talk about before they come on. I have to actually guess it. So I ask them who, what, when, where, why, and try to figure out what it is that they're watching. A lot of times I'm able to guess it. And sometimes I'm not, and that's fine. That adds to the comedy of the show. We like to bring our guest on, whether they're a model or an actress or a producer or musician, and just let them have a platform to be able to tell everybody what they have coming up next, and also entertain everybody with what's worth watching. So I hope everybody tunes in for the next episode of What's Your Effin' Binge. Thanks. It's Chris.